So, these chests up here filled with solid gold are not a part of the Lord's Supper, even though they're on that table, but they will have something to do with the sermon, or at least I sure hope they will. But what I need to say about them is that just in case I don't own a lot of solid gold, those might be those Ferrero Rocher chocolates. So at the end of the sermon, I would be honored, since I can't eat them and Karen's trying hard not to eat them, if you'd come get a piece of chocolate. You'll have dessert for your worship today. So do that. Okay, let me begin our thoughts together by prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, so thankful for the things that you have taught us, and we simply ask that you help our hearts to be at rest, that we will be able to hear from you, and that you will bless our lives through what we hear. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, the Word, and all of us together say, Amen. So, Wednesday night in our discussion, I was reminded of just how much a part of my heritage hard work has been. I learned from my dad very strongly that you have to work hard. And when I was really young, he was going to work all day and then taking classes at night just so he could get ahead. And my dad grew up in Harlan County, Kentucky. If you've ever heard about that, I used to hear stories from my dad that I was like, oh, come on, Dad, you know, we're not going to buy that. And then I watched a news program. When my dad was growing up in Harlan County, Kentucky, it was the single poorest region of the entire United States at the time. Everybody was coal miners. But back then, you didn't get a lot of money for being a coal miner. And so I grew up on stories of my grandfather and my grandfather's brothers and his father all working in the coal mines. Deep, dark holes where nobody knew about black lung disease, or at least where it wasn't discussed. And so for my life, hard work has always been a value. It has always been important to me. And as I mentioned Wednesday night, sometimes that works to your disadvantage, right? It's not always a good thing to value hard work. But if there is a lot to value about hard work, I would like to hear what it is. And this is not a rhetorical question. I'd like to get you moving into the discussion. Tell me the good things about hard work. When you see a person that is a hard worker and you think, oh, I really admire, oh, how much it helps other people. Yes. Oh, you read my sermon? Oh, right, right. Okay, yeah, that's one reason that I admire a hard worker, because then that person is able to help people more. Absolutely, 100% right. What else? What else do you value about hard work? Rick?
It brings satisfaction to the one that does the hard work.
Yes, it brings satisfaction to the person that does the hard work after the hard work is done. I asked Dr. Jack Lewis at the Harding Graduate School, I said, did you enjoy writing books? And he said, well, I enjoy having a book that's finished. And I thought, ooh, wow, okay. Yeah, so absolutely. What else? Hard work. What do you admire about hard work? Yes. Oh, yeah. Have you ever watched Dirty Jobs on TV? There are a lot of jobs that a lot of people don't want to do, but isn't it wonderful to see someone working hard, especially at something that other people aren't going to be working hard at? Yes, I value that. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, Don. Aha, sets an example for the future generations, you bet. Yeah, which was my story. I owe a lot to my dad and my grandfather and and my whole family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Aha, that I would agree with. Hard work builds character. Because hard work means that you're probably doing something at least towards the end of the day that you're tired of doing. But you stick it out and you persevere and you keep going. And it does. It builds character to work hard. Absolutely. Yeah, Marv.
Sets a good example for our children.
Yeah, sets a good example for our children. Absolutely. Ah, I hope, wish, desire that every child on the planet would see hardworking parents. Yeah. Yes, Glenice.
It's a, let's see. Oh, yeah. It's a fulfillment of God's desire for you.
Ah, it's a fulfillment of God's desire for you. So you would say God desires us to work hard. Yeah, God desires us to work. I would argue he wants us to work hard. In fact, let me share a couple of scriptures with you. And let me invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Forgive me while I wait for Siri to understand that I was not talking to her. Because I do not want her to mess up my scripture. There is a reason to use paper instead of technology. Two stories, Old Testament and New Testament, about hard work. And notice the difference. The first is from the writer of Ecclesiastes. It's a book in the Old Testament where the wisest man alive is just simply looking around and seeing what he can see and writing about what it is that he observes. And then the second scripture will come from the New Testament, from the Apostle Paul, who is talking about hard work. So let's start with the writer of Ecclesiastes 4:7. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Please be seated. What a huge difference. One man, quote, all alone. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. And the other man, quote, who showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Once upon a time, there was a barber, the best barber in the land, and so he got the job of being barber to the king. This barber was a man who was happy, he was contented, he was glad for what he had, and one day as he was walking through the forest, he saw a tree. And he'd never seen that tree before because it was a very strange-looking tree. It was exceedingly tall. The branches almost looked alive as they moved in the wind. It was odd, and he went over to the tree, and he heard a voice say, "Do you want to have the seven chests of gold?" Well, he jumped. He thought he was all alone in the woods. And sure enough, he ran around the tree. He looked everywhere. No one was there. And he heard the voice again. Do you want to have the 7 chests of gold? The barber said, sure. And lo and behold, he was handed the 7 chests of gold. And he loved them. He rushed home, had to carry them one at a time. Except the very last chest wasn't that heavy, because what he had gotten were 6 chests completely filled with gold and 1 chest that was only half filled with gold. And after a few days, that chest began to weigh on his mind. He really wanted that last chest to be full of gold. The other 6 were. So lo and behold, he goes out, he sells everything he can sell, grabs that gold, puts it in the pot, and the pot doesn't get any more full. It just stays empty. So then he goes to all of his friends, everyone he can go to, and he borrows as much money as he can, converts it to gold, puts it in the pot, and the pot doesn't get any more full. It's still empty. And he begins to be extremely upset and worried and depressed. He lost his contentment. Boy, the king could tell there's something wrong with his barber. And the barber said, well, I'll tell you what's wrong. You don't pay me enough money. You're the king. You got all the money in the world. I need more of a salary. And the king said, oh, no problem. You're the best barber in the world. I'm going to give you twice as much money. I'll double your salary. The barber was so happy. He took all his extra money, converted it to gold, put it in the pot, and the pot stayed half empty. And he became depressed again and discontented. He became surly. He became upset, and the king noticed it. And the king called him in before the throne, and he said, have you been given the 7 pots of gold? And the barber said, whoa, how in the world did you know about that? And the king said, well, I knew about it because I was walking through the forest and I came across this strange tree. It was so tall and the limbs were moving like they were alive in the wind. And I heard a voice that said, do you want to have the 7 pots of gold? And I thought about it, and it bothered me the way that that voice said, do you want to have the 7 pots of gold? It didn't say, do you want 7 pots of gold? It said, do you want to have the 7 pots of gold? So I told the voice, is it that I have to have the 7 pots of gold, or can I spend the 7 pots of gold? And the voice let out a loud shriek and ran off. And I've been content ever since. So I am telling you, barber, take your 7 pots of gold, bring them back to the tree, and leave them there. And this story ends however you want it to end. If you want it to end the way the Old Testament writer said it, he didn't do it. He still kept trying to fill up the 7th pot and couldn't do it. Or you can have it end happily thereafter the way the New Testament talks about it. The barber did go back, bring all the gold back to that spirit, and from then on lived a life of giving and a life of happiness. You guys have already said it. You already knew the answer. If you want to be happy with money, give it away. Give it away every chance you get. The blessing is not in having something. The blessing is in having something to share. And these are the words of Jesus, our Creator, who made us, said he came to this earth so that we could have a full life. He said, you want to be happy? Give. It'll make you happier to give than to receive. That's in the physical realm, and that is in the spiritual realm. I went away to college, especially I want all the young people hearing this. I went away to college to study electrical engineering. I had 2 goals in my life. There were just 2. There were just 2 things that I wanted. Why would you work hard? I had 2 very easy reasons. Number 1, I was going to buy a Porsche. And number two, I wanted the best stereo in existence on this planet. Now, I've told you guys that story before, but what I didn't tell you is the full story. How would you know you got the best stereo in existence? Because you studied to become an electrical engineer and you designed it. And if anyone else wants the best stereo in existence, they can come to you and pay you money to have you build it for them. Which actually, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, actually that proves something pretty good about me. When I was 19 years old, not only had God removed all materialism from my heart, He had also given me an amazing degree of humility. Most 19-year-olds are not that humble. So, thankfully, God, who looked down and thought, well, that guy needs some help. Thankfully, God redirected my life. I did not become an electrical engineer. I did not buy a Porsche. You see, the problem with buying a Porsche, there is always a nicer car out there somewhere. And if you got that nicer car, there would be a nicer one. The latest new car I saw was the Aston Martin Valkyrie. Doug DeMuro was reviewing it. $4.2 million to buy this new car. But guess what? They'll come out with a better one next week. So if you believe that Jesus is telling you the truth, if you believe that, then it's simply more blessed to give than to receive. I don't care how much money you make, you'll never fill up the seventh pot. It cannot be done. There's always somebody making more money. There's always an extra bit of gold that can fit in the pot. But I wondered this because I know who I'm talking to, and I am talking to a people who are really generous. You've already known that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, that's some of the answers you gave me. And it's what I've seen you do with your life. But looking at my own life, I have wondered this. What if the seven pots of gold might apply to our spiritual lives? What if it applies to my desire to walk with my God? We've been studying on Wednesday nights a film series called The Expectation Gap. And what that's about is that big gap that exists in our heart between, well, frankly, where we think we ought to be spiritually and where we really are. A lot of us struggle with thinking, you know, I thought I'd be more spiritual by now than I am. And what if maybe, boy, as I looked at my spiritual life and I thought, oh, I want so much to walk with God and to be close with God. What if the seven pots of gold applies to that? What if the more I have been trying to be close to my God and be like my God and be filled with His Spirit, what if that never ceases? After all, God is infinite, right? There'll always be something I can put in that seventh pot of spirituality. And what if Jesus saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive, actually replies to our spiritual life. Why did you come here this morning? Did you come here to worship God? If so, you came for a good reason. God is God and God is good. He is our Father. He fills us with His Spirit. He gives His forgiveness freely. Every good blessing, even the change of seasons, is from God. So if you came here this morning to worship God, you did a good thing. And that should be somewhere on the priority list. But isn't it odd then that the only verse I know of in the entire New Testament that says, hey, you need to get together when the church gets together? Do you know what it says? Listen to it. Think about the seven pots. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It says, boy, you need to get there whenever the church gets together. You need to be there. But it didn't say anything about worshiping God. It says a lot about spurring each other on and encouraging each other. Isn't it odd that Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, that's how I can always remember that. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are the two chapters that talk about us being a body and talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Well, why do we have it, Spirit? For the common good. The common good. The Holy Spirit is not at work in my life so that I can achieve some great depth of spirituality. The Holy Spirit is at work in my life so that I can help you achieve a great depth of spirituality. I can't fill up that seventh chest. I just can't do it. But I can sure give. So maybe one of the reasons we come together, right? Because if all we want to do is worship God, I've got some places I can worship God, frankly, in some ways better than here. You know me. When I'm out by a lake, oh my. I mean, worship just happens naturally. I pray without even thinking about it when I'm walking out of the lake. But why do I come here? Maybe the number one thing is not worshiping God. Even the Lord's Supper, which is surely the height of the worship. I mean, that's our sacrament. That's God giving his grace through physical means to us. Even the Lord's Supper, when the New Testament writes about it, talks about making sure that our hearts are right with each other before we take the Lord's Supper. Wow. So, if you came here to worship God, oh, absolutely, of course. How could we not get together and worship God? And those of you who know how well I sing, I really like being with a group of people who are singing loud so that I can sing loud. There is some worship that takes place in this building that I can't do anywhere else. So, I love to come here. I love to worship. But maybe even more than my spiritual life, I'm here because of your spiritual life. I found this very interesting. Jay always wants to know what the sermon topic is so he can pick songs. Jay told me this. He said that trying to think about today's sermon, I told him, it's always about giving to each other. And Jay said, boy, I got to tell you, there are a lot more songs about our giving to God than about our giving to each other. So if any of you are in the mood to write a song, let me simply close by rereading the scriptures I started with, but just the shorter version, and then we'll stand and sing. In fact, if you want to go ahead and stand now, that would be wonderful. Old Testament. There was a man all alone. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. New Testament. I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
And as I was telling Lanice that very